Kurt. I don't know if I did say earlier, I should have liked to encourage you to come out tonight to hear Derek Malcolm, who will be speaking on the Middle East, and particularly in Turkey. And I mentioned earlier about it, and I know maybe one or two of you weren't there, but Derek was a close friend and has been for many years, and I've been very encouraged by his life over the years, and he's been a good help to me and an inspiration to me over many years. And if you can come out tonight, not only is he able to go to Turkey and to serve the Lord there, but he's also a great communicator, good Bible teacher, and he's also doing writing as well. One of the problems about his writings on the book of Acts and the early church and other such things is that it's too big for them to print it in this country. The Christian publishers don't seem too interested. If you write too much about the Bible, they don't want to publish it. They want little books for people to go out and buy. So Derek's very able, and if you can come tonight, do so. And then also on Tuesday night, we want to look at what it is to serve God and how we can do that in different ways. And we'll have a video, which I think you would enjoy to see on Tuesday. So make time for that also. But for our time together this morning, it's one of these occasions where you wake up in the morning and you have your plans and you think you're going to do something a certain way, but then they change. And it's just like coming up the road there, and you want to come down to Queen Street, and all of a sudden the road has changed and there's big lorries in the middle of it. That happens. And I think in anything in life, whether it's coming here to church, your faith, or even your work or studies, you have to be able to adapt and be able to cope. And that develops our character, our personality. So what we want to look at today is just to take the theme that we've got. And if you've gone around the shops recently, you will know that it was Father's Day, and it was highly promoted and publicised. It's a bit of a routine we have in the retail sector, and all the different shops, they promote and publish Father's Day, and we all kind of buy into that. So let's have a look a wee bit then what the Bible has to say about fathers. And I got a few cards, and I brought some of them to let you see what they're like. They kind of maybe what your children has. That's ties, by the way, in case you can't see that. I don't know who lined them up and got all the colours, but I thought it was quite a good one. This one here was another one I got, and it said, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement," and it's Philemon 7. So for a father, these are the kind of things that are encouraging to us. And I want to just kind of look at what the Bible says about a father and a parent. It doesn't just apply to fathers, it will be mothers also. And maybe you say, well, I'm not in that position. Well, maybe one day you might be, in particular for the younger ones here. Something to aspire to and something to remember what the Bible has to say. And it's something that we tell others as well. So what does some of the verses in the Bible talk about father? Look, let's look at Malachi chapter 2, verse 6. Not one that you would maybe initially think about, but a very important one. Malachi chapter 2, verse 6. And if you're looking for Malachi, it's the last book of the Old Testament, okay? Just back from Matthew, which is easy to find, okay? A son honours his father, and a servant his master. Okay, a son honours his father, and a servant his master. I already referred earlier to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, about honouring your father and mother. I read dip into Proverbs chapter 4, just after the Psalms. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. So you can see that there's a theme that is in the scriptures for a father, for parents, and instructing their children. And then just want to refer to Luke chapter 15. You couldn't speak about fathers without thinking of some of the fathers in the scriptures. Now, there's some pretty dubious examples of fatherhood and parenthood in the Bible, but there's also some excellent examples that we can follow. All examples are there for us to learn and to dip into. And sometimes there are examples, say like David, where we get an example where great warrior, great king, and yet as a father, as a parent, he made some errors of judgment that had ramifications right through his life and his reign, and nearly cost him the throne as well. But here's a man, just take a few verses here, I'm not going to speak on it, but I just want to refer to it. Luke 15 verse 12, and the younger of them, this man had two sons, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to his livelihood. Then the young guy goes away, goes into another land, spends all the money, ends up destitute, decides that he's better off being a servant with his father, and seeks to come back home again. Verse 20 says, and he arose and he came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wonderful story there of redemption, of God looking for the lost sinner. And then at the end of the chapter, the other son's a bit kind of confused and a bit upset, but the father says, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So the marvellous message there of the gospel, we're not going to go into that, but it gives you an illustration there about the love of the father. And that often can be the case, can't it, that we have to have that love, even through difficult and hard times. But the father, the parent, must always remain faithful, and above all, have trust in God. Well, let's go to the passage I'd like to refer to today, Deuteronomy chapter 6. It was interesting that on Tuesday night, Malcolm was talking about some of the books in the Old Testament that are harder to read and to follow. And sometimes we look at the books like Genesis or the Psalms or Proverbs or Isaiah, and there's lots of interesting material. And we think of maybe some of the books, Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy, and think they might be a wee bit dry and a bit hard to understand. But there are some wonderful verses nevertheless, and these are some that I often think about, and I feel they should be preached upon and taught. Now, the verses that we thought earlier in the Ten Commandments also come repeated in Deuteronomy. But we want to read Deuteronomy 6 verses 5 to 9. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So we're thinking of parenthood, if we're thinking of fathers on this Father's Day. What is God's outlook on it? What instruction has he given us? And if we think, those of us who are responsible, have children, how we should conduct ourselves, how we should impart our faith in the Lord Jesus, and how, on the other end, those who are younger, those who are children, and I suppose we can grow up with still, you'll have parents and still have responsibility and a relationship with them, and we can see, but it must be focused, it must be built. The foundation of everything in our lives must be the Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in him. And that's one of the difficulties we have in the day and age in which we live in. There's so much that people around us want to turn away and turn round into their own. And they don't really want God to be in their lives. And so much so they want to sort of remove any kind of influences, any references to God and to his word. And it is quite remarkable when you see what goes on in our country and some of the things that the consequences of not giving God the proper place and giving his word preeminence in your life. You only have to look at the political world to see the shambles of people who want to do their own thing. But all of a sudden, the people want to have rules. They want to have a line that you can't go over. And that has consequences. And it's interesting that there is a reaction to all the things going on with our politicians at the moment. And that gives you some measure of hope. But if it's not based on the scriptures, then we would be to be pitied. We are in a country which has a heritage of Christianity, and it's done a lot of good over the generations. It's had a big impact, and it's important that we don't lose sight of that, and it's important our leaders don't lose sight of that also. But if you look at verse 5 of what we read, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That is the basis for life, for each of our lives. That's the challenge for each of our lives. Do we love the Lord your God? Do we give him the preeminent place in our lives? And as we think of the message of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, and the Bible is telling us and presenting that right through the scriptures of the Messiah who's to come, and we read of him in the Gospels, and we read of what Jesus accomplished by going to the cross at Calvary and by dying for the sin of this world upon that cross. He took the sins. He took your sins, took my sins upon himself, and there he bore them. But for people today, the first important point for them is to recognise that they're a sinner. And that can be very hard for people to see that they've done wrong. But there is a line, as we talked earlier, there is a demarcation for everyone. There are rules, and we have to think of that. And if we want to please God, if we recognise there is a God and we want to please him, we have to measure up to what he says. We cannot live our lives without sin. We only have to look at some of the commandments that God has given to realise that we've broken them. Even down to telling a simple lie. We cannot please God, and we've sinned. God's remedy, God's answer to our sin, was to send his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. And as we often sing and point out, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is the gospel message. That is a challenge that we have to present, that we have to face up to. Have we believed? Is Jesus Christ the one that we acknowledge as our Lord and our Saviour? Do we follow him in our life? And if we do, then we can say, you know, we love the Lord our God. Give all our heart, all our soul, all our strength. And it also says it elsewhere, and all our mind as well. Our thinking, what we love, the energy that we have, all that we do has got to be given to the Lord Jesus. It's often said, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. We can't pick and choose. We can't dip in and say, this is Sunday, this is the time for coming to church, this is the day that I'll look to God and I'll be obedient and I'll be interested in him. But come Monday and Tuesday and the rest of the week, then I can kind of focus on what I want to do and pick and choose the things that I think are important or otherwise. That's not what the message of the Bible is about. It's a commitment. It's something that demands everything. As we often sing, it demands my life, my soul, my all. And that's hard to say and to sing. And we've sung a lot of hymns today, and other days we would sing them. And these words are powerful. And we shouldn't just sing them because it's a nice tune and we fit in nicely and we enjoy the emotion and everything of it. It's words that should have depth, reality to our life, and so that we can actually think about them day by day. And we'll come back to the impact of singing and hymns and songs later, because they have a part to play in what we're thinking about today. That is the basis, that is the foundation for all parents. It should be the foundation of all marriages, is that Jesus Christ is Lord of the people who are married, of the parents. And that's the message that we try and proclaim, that Jesus Christ is the centre. We often think about it in one of the songs, that Jesus is the centre. He is everything. And it's maybe hard sometimes to always remember that and to live it out, but that's the truth of the matter. Verse 6 says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. The scriptures that we read, the Bible passages that we would look at on a daily basis as we come along and hear the topics opened up on a Sunday or a Tuesday, and we look at our Bible study and we think of all the different passages in the Bible. They are there for us. and we've got to take them in and assimilate them, not just in our head, but in our heart also. That is a great challenge for us. All the different verses that we know, all the different books of the Bible that we read, and every single book has something in it. Sometimes it's harder to go to some of the books and find something that is of encouragement and help to us. But there is something there. There's something in everything for us. When we know that, and when the father, the parent knows God's word, they have to understand it. That's why it's important for the younger generation. That's why we do studies on Sunday or during the week, or the various activities that we have going on over the course of the year. Therefore, teaching these younger people what the scriptures are about. And we think even of our Daniel study, which has been very, very deep, very far-reaching, and yet we look at one book of the Bible and we see how it goes across other books of the Bible, and it helps us to understand, Daniel helps us understand Revelation. If we dipped into Revelation without looking at Daniel, we wouldn't have as great an insight. And it's that kind of thing that we have to appreciate, that everything in the Bible is connected. It's not there by chance. And everything there has to be searched out. It's not that there's a page on salvation, or there's a page on the Lord coming back, or there's a page on Christian living, or there's a page on prayer. It's right through the whole Bible. We have to search it. It's hard work. It's not something that's going to come easily. There's no quick fix to getting a grip of the Bible and the scriptures, but it's all there. And that's why it's still interesting. 10, 20, 30, 50 or more years later, after we become a believer, it's still interesting. It's still fresh to us to read. It's still more important. It's still better than the newspaper you'll get today, tomorrow, or next week. The Bible has still more up to date. It's ahead of the times. It's got things in the Bible that they've not discovered. You even think of how the earth, and it was a sphere. They used to think it was flat, but if they read their Bible, they would know that that wasn't the case. It was in the scriptures. And it's interesting just how ignorant we see in the world in which we live in. There's things that people think happened, didn't happen, couldn't have happened. If they only took time to read the Bible, they would find out what God has to say. Assimilate it. Take it in. Bring it into your life. Then verse 7 says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. See, if you have a responsibility for teaching children, then it's not just bringing them along to the church. It's not just for a wee Sunday session. It's not just to go to Sunday school and that's it. There's a lot more to it. It's a lot more demanding, and it's a lot more commitment to it. It's day by day. There's never an opportunity that we can't grasp and we can't take. And it's diligence. Now, there was no due diligence paid by a lot of the banks and how they took over other banks or went into businesses and gave away capital and loans. And due diligence is important, and it's vital in business, and it's vital to successful business. It's vital in our lives as well as believers, as a Christian, to be diligent. And that's to pay attention, that's to be careful, and that's to learn, but also to apply the principles of what we've learned in our lives. And if we do that, not only are we blessed, but we also avoid a lot of unnecessary pitfalls and troubles if we apply what God has said. If we know what the truth is and follow the truth, then we'll not be so easily tarnished by lies and untruths and what is bad and what indeed is evil. So wherever we are, that's why what we sing is important. That's why what we do is important. And there's various ways that parents can encourage their children, even by singing the hymns, the psalms, the songs that we learn that glorify God. And they can be done in a very interesting and a very encouraging and a very enjoyable way. And that's something, even if you take a parent when you're in your car and you have your, what maybe would have been in the past, your tape, now it's your CD, now it's your MP3, whatever version that you have, make sure that the music that your children listen to glorifies God and is not going to put them off on the wrong track. And these things are important, and that's the decisions I made when I was in the early days was, what do I listen to? What do I watch? What do I read? Is it going to be invaluable? Is it going to be beneficial? And if it's not holy and pure, as Paul talks about in Philippians, if it's not admirable, if it's not praiseworthy, then it's not something you should think about. It's not something you should do. So even down to the very things that we would listen and watch, we have to be very, very astute and very careful that we don't allow things to creep in that would not be good and indeed would give the devil a foothold, because we see how subtle and the wiles of the devil, how they corrupt and come in. So there's, when you get the opportunity in your house, when you're walking, there's a good encouragement for walking and taking a walk with your family and your children. There's a good therapy in walking, isn't there? It's not just the physical exercise, but it's also a good stimulus. It's also good to walk and to talk as well. And if you're looking for an escape from the pressures of life and all the buzz and the biz that we have, sometimes a walk can bring everything back into perspective. I try and do that at work and have 10, 15 minutes go for a walk around the grounds of where I work at Gap Naval. And I didn't know the area before I went to work there just a year or so back. But I found it to be, it's actually quite a nice area. It's actually quite pleasant. And it's amazing the difference. 10, 15 minutes just out in the fresh air has a great transformation for the rest of the day. And you can apply yourself once again. That's why it's so important to have a break. That's why they have breaks. And that's why they take time off you at work to stop, so that you can then go back. And if you go back again, you're actually going to be more productive. And that's a fact. And I think if we can do that, and that's why spending time in God's presence is also very productive. So these things are important. And this is what we are thinking of in terms of a Father's Day. That's the responsibility that God gives parents. It's one that we try to take on seriously and faithfully and apply all that we know. But if we don't know, if we don't make the effort when we're younger to learn and to take on what God is saying in His Word, if we don't get interested when we're younger, it won't really be possible when we're older. That's why we try and encourage the young folks to say, well, those young guys who would look ahead and say, well, if they're going to be involved in the leadership of the church, if they're going to become an elder, if in your 20s you start reading your Bible, by the time you're in your 40s, you might have, you know, if you just take one reading of the Bible, it takes a whole year to do it. If you start when you're 20, by the time you're 40, you could have read it 20 times. And that's not really a lot, is it, to read a textbook? It's not many times. But if you don't start till you're 40, you're at a real disadvantage. You're really too late in many ways to do that. But when you get older and you know it, then you're able to apply it and you're able to benefit. And it's so much easier when you have an understanding of something to make it actually work. So that's encouragement for the parent, and that's encouragement for the father, is that we have to show the example, we have to set the example, we have to show the love of God, His greatness, His goodness, put it in our lives. But above all, before we even get to that stage, we should be able to say we love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our being. And that's because we have trusted in Jesus Christ. We have acknowledged Him as the one who died on the cross, who came to take our sins upon Himself. We have repented of our sins. We have acknowledged Him as our Saviour and Lord, and we follow Him day by day. And when we do that, then everything else can take its place, and that we can be the example, both to our children and to others who God leads us day by day to speak to and to live with. So let's just give God thanks now for His Word and for our time together. Our God and Father, we thank You for this opportunity to proclaim Your Word, and we ask that as we meditate and consider it, may You speak to us through this Word. It is Your Word and Your Word alone, and may it speak more than anything else. May it be a blessing, may it be a help, as we give thanks for our time together. Ask You to watch over us, be with the youngsters in Sunday school and with the teachers. Pray Your blessing upon them at this time, as we give thanks once again, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.